sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand.
Some of you may have heard me tell this funny little story before, but bear with me as I tell it again. It's the story of a drunk who wandered out of a bar and down toward the river. And as he gets closer to the river, he hears singing and laughter and people worshiping God. Finally, he comes upon the river, and out in the river is a preacher baptizing folks. There's a line of people to be baptized, and they all seem so joyous that the drunk decides to get in the line. But one by one they are baptized, and finally it's the drunk's turn. The preacher dips him under the water, holds him for a second, brings him back up and says to the drunk, "Do you believe?" And the drunk replies, "I believe." Again the preacher dunks him under the water, brings him back up again, and once more asks, "Do you believe?" And again the drunk replies, "I believe." A third time the preacher dunks him under the water and brings him back up and asks, "Do you believe?" Again the drunk replies, "I believe." This time the preacher also asks, "What do you believe?" And the drunk with certainty replies, "I believe you're trying to drown me." Well, I know that's kind of a funny little story, but I'm stressing this to let you know that it's important to know what we believe. And what you believe is important. You know, I was raised in church, been in church all my life. My earliest memories are probably things of church, some of the preachers that we had, and as we sat in a church service, and as a youngster of 4 or 5 years old, trying to comprehend sometimes what the preacher or the evangelist was talking about. I remember we had one evangelist, and he was preaching away, and he said, "I want you to get this picture." And I'm sitting there thinking, how in the world do I get that picture? Where do I buy it at? Where do we find it? I didn't quite understand what he was talking about. But our beliefs are important. On our website, we have a page titled, "We Believe." And it lists 16 of the most important things that this ministry believes so that you have no doubt where we're coming from. And we preach and teach those beliefs. You know, when I first started out in ministry, I was preaching at a place called Billings Mission on Skid Row in downtown Los Angeles. You'd show up for a service, the place would be full. These homeless men who had wandered in, some of them maybe slightly inebriated, they'd come in primarily because they wanted that bowl of chili beans that they were going to get after they listened to the message. But you know, the word got through to some of them, and some of them actually got saved during that time, and some we were able to help there at the mission. But that's where I started out at. And during that time, or just maybe shortly before that time, I'd met another young man by the name of Terry Cross, and he played guitar, and I played steel guitar, and we started singing together, and we sang and ministered together for a number of years, and then, of course, as time went along, I was out of the country for over a year, and he moved away, but music had played an important part of my life. And up until the last few years, I actually was able to sing occasionally. But it's been an important part to me, and the words to the song mean a lot to me, and some of the old songs especially. And I'm talking about the old hymns, the songs that were popular during the 60s and 70s in church. Many of them have a message that still resonates with my heart today. And many times as I'm listening to one of those songs, it will begin to strike a chord with me and will help me to begin to develop the message that we're going to be talking about during the week. And this past week, even though I hadn't thought about this song in years, it's the words to a Bill Gaither song, and it's called I Believe in a Hill Called Mount Calvary. And those words begin running through my mind, and it's been so long since I've sang the song that I couldn't remember all the words, and my daughter happens to have the soundtrack with the words, and I just couldn't remember them myself, though. But I began to sing what I could remember of those words to myself as I was in the car, or maybe in my office, and they were beginning to speak to my heart. You know, that's an important thing about music. Music can speak to your heart. And the Bible even tells us that God can move through music. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, we find, you know, Saul is king of Israel. He's the first king, and he has some problems. He's kind of turned his back on God and not always doing what he's supposed to be doing. And he has some times that he's vexed. And in chapter 16, verses 14 through 16, it reads, But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. The music began to soothe the troubled spirit. And it says the evil spirit departed from him. As I mentioned this song, I Believe in a Hill Called Mount Calvary. Part of the chorus is, I believe in the Christ who was slain on the cross. Another part says, He has the power to change lives today. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary, and I believe, whatever the cost. And sometimes I wonder if folks who call themselves Christians even really know what they believe. Stop to think about it. Think about in your own life, do you really know what you believe when it comes to the things of God? I looked up some surveys online, and according to various surveys, only about 75%, and some of these surveys were a couple of years old, so possibly that's even less now, believe that the Bible is God's Word. Think about that. Only 3/4, maybe less, of the people who call themselves Christians believe that the Bible is the Word of God. One survey, and oh, I've heard this as a joke before, but I didn't realize that people actually believed it. One survey showed that 12% of adults, think about this now, 12% of adults believed Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. And it's just almost unbelievable to think that people would believe that a person from history who lived hundreds of years, thousands of years actually later, thousands of years later, was Noah's wife. Well, we can go to church and we can hear all kinds of motivational messages. Some are very good. You know, there's nothing wrong with being motivated. We need to be motivated. I remember years ago, my wife and I were selling a product called Shackley. And it was one of these multi-level marketing things. And you went to seminars and stuff, and they tried to motivate you and all of this. And I even had a message I preached, and I called it my Shackley sermon. Later on, I changed it to the Amway sermon. But it all was the same thing. It was about motivation. We need to be motivated for God. We need to be motivated to do what God calls us to do and what God wants us to do. So there's nothing wrong with motivation. But the question is, sometimes when we go to church, are we just hearing motivation? But are we hearing God's word? Are we hearing what the Bible has to say? And sometimes what we may hear in a motivational message may not actually line up with what the Word of God has to say. Now, I know there's always going to be those who ask, well, does it matter what I believe? Does it really matter? Well, what I believe is my business. Well, here's what the Bible has to say. And on an example here that I want to give you in Mark chapter 9, it tells about a father who's brought his child to Jesus. And in verse 17, he says, of chapter 9 of Mark, he says, "And one of the multitude answered, said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." And Jesus, my son's got a problem. He's got this spirit that's upon him here, and he hurts himself, and he gnashes with his teeth, and he foams at the mouth. Do something for him. Can't you do something for him? Well, it goes on in verse 21. It says, and speaking of Jesus here, "And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child." Now, it doesn't tell us how old this son was, but he says he's had this problem since he was a child. "And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus, can you help us? Can you help us? We need help here. There's a lot of people in the world today that need help. They need something in their life that they are not getting just from the run-of-the-mill everyday life. Verse 23, "And Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Jesus, I believe, and help my unbelief. That's all it took. That's all it took. I believe. What we believe matters. It makes a difference in our lives. It makes a difference in the lives of those who are around about us. It makes a difference in the lives of our families. What we believe. And as Christians, we must believe. And there are people out there today who call themselves Christians that are really not quite sure what they believe. They went to church maybe a couple of times, and they said, "Oh, well, I've gone to church. I'm a Christian. After all, Grandma, Grandpa, they were Christians. I must be a Christian." And it's pretty much that way with other religions as well. If your family was that, a lot of people, they grew up, "Well, that's what I am because that's what my family was." Well, I want to tell you right now, just because your family were Christians, that does not make you a Christian. As Christians, we must believe. There are certain things as Christians we must believe. First of all, we must believe in the Christ who died on the cross. Let me say that again. We must believe in the Christ who died on the cross. Because you see, it was his death on the cross of Calvary that paid the price for our salvation, for our redemption. It was his death on the cross that enabled us to be cleansed from our sins, have those washed away and covered by his blood as the sacrifice that God required. John chapter 19 speaks of the crucifixion, and it says in chapter 19, verse 30, speaking of Jesus' last moments there, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Another translation says, gave up his spirit. It was finished. The price of salvation, the redemption was paid. The penalty for your sin was paid on the cross of Calvary. But if we don't believe Jesus died on the cross, how can we have salvation? Think about that. And I know there are some that will say, "Oh, well, he actually didn't die. He just passed out." They took him down and they took him over to the tomb and his disciples stole the body. There's all kinds of stories that go around. But the evidence is there. He was dead. Those Roman soldiers knew what they were doing. They were skilled in the art of crucifixion. And they knew he was dead. So we must believe in the Christ who died on the cross, because there the penalty, the price of our salvation was paid in full. And without that belief, we're hopeless. We must also believe in the follow-up to that, and that is the resurrection. Acts chapter 10, verse 40 says, "Him," speaking of Jesus, "him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. He was seen of hundreds of people after he rose from the dead." And I've got news for you too. He's appeared to people since that time as well. And there have been numerous people over the last 2,000 years that have had a face-to-face with the resurrected Jesus Christ. Paul, whose name was Saul at the time, on his way to Tarsus, had a meeting with the resurrected Christ. Other people that we hear of have had a face-to-face with the resurrected Christ. They've seen Jesus. He's alive. We must believe that. If we don't believe he's alive, if we don't believe he rose from the dead, then we're lost. Because it's not true if we don't believe it. If we don't believe it, if we don't think it happened, then the basis of our salvation would not be true. Jesus is the only way to salvation. Now, I know there are going to be people that right there will balk and say, hold it, can't we do some other way here? Can't we do it through some of these other religions? After all, Buddha was a peaceful guy. And some of these others here, well, that's not what the Word of God has to say. The Word of God says that John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." He is the only way. And you don't make it to heaven except through Jesus Christ. I remember years ago, and I was reminded of another song that we sang back in the 80s. And I can't even remember the title of it for sure. Some of the words were, "It won't be old Buddha who's sitting on the throne, and it won't be Muhammad who's calling his home. No, it's going to be Jesus. And if you don't believe in Jesus, if you don't accept him as your personal Savior, You're lost. Simple as that. You're lost. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is only one name, and that's the name of Jesus. And I don't care which language you use it in and which translation of that name Yeshua that you use, you call upon that name. He knows who you're talking to. We call upon his name. Jesus, save me. And he'll do it. But we have to believe. We can't just say, "Well, Jesus, save me. I'll go on about my business now. I've said the words." It doesn't work that way. We have got to do it with full meaning in our heart, with belief that he does it. Now, I know there are people today that teach otherwise, and some are very well-known, famous people. Some are even preachers who claim to be Christians that teach this, that there are other ways. There is more than one path to heaven. It's not what God's Word has to say. It says narrow is the path, and few there be that will enter in. Because if you don't believe, if you don't accept him as your personal Savior, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it believing in Buddha. You're not going to make it believing in Muhammad. You're not going to make it believing in Krishna. You're not going to make it believing in these multitude of other religions that are out there today. You are not going to make it. It's only through Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 2:1 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction." In my lifetime, sad to say, and in the lifetime of those of you that are listening to me today, and I don't care if you're 10 years old or even younger, there have been people who have got up and denied that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, that there are other methods. Got up and said that everyone is going to heaven. That is not what God's Word declares. False teachers. We've got to believe, whatever the cost. Are you really prepared to pay the cost? You know, those in the early church for the first close to 300 years of the early church, or 200 years anyway of the early church, they paid a price for being believers. Many were crucified. Many were stoned. Many were put in the Colosseum as fun as they watched the lions tear them to pieces. Some were boiled in oil. They paid a price for their beliefs. Are you prepared to pay the cost? Christians are paying the cost today. There are Christians in various parts of the world today, possibly in some places that this message is being heard, that are paying the price for believing in Jesus Christ. Thrown in prison, persecuted, executed. Why? Because they believe in Jesus Christ. And here in America, folks, the day is coming swiftly when we may have to pay the price for believing in Jesus Christ. A couple of people and politicians, and I'll leave it at that, politicians have said just recently, Christians are going to have to change their beliefs, or they're going to be paying a price. That was inferred at the paying the price part. But they inferred it because if they don't change their beliefs, it's going to cost them. They're going to have to get with it. They're going to have to get with the program. Are you prepared to pay the cost? Are we acting like believers? That's important too. Do we act like a believer? 2 Corinthians 6:15 through 18 says, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Oh, we've got to act like believers. We've got to come out from among the world. And it saddens me today as I see the church is becoming more and more worldly, especially here in America. And sometimes it's hard to tell a church from some kind of a rock concert or some other event. God help us. We need to be the church. We need to be believers in Jesus Christ. We need to believe and practice what the Word of God says. Are we acting like believers? Are you acting like a believer? Think about it. Are you acting like a believer? And the last thing I want to talk about today is we need to believe He's coming again. There are people out there who don't think He's coming again. Oh, no, that's just a fairy tale. After all, He's been gone 2,000 years, hasn't come back. And they grow on and mumble through it. Nah, it's not going to happen. Well, John chapter 14, verses 2 through 3, this is Jesus Himself speaking. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." What? "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I am going to come again. He reiterates that in that same chapter in verse 28. He says, "Ye have heard now, I said unto you, I go away and I come again unto you. And if you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." I'm going to come again. He also said, you know not the day or the hour when He's coming. And that time is soon, my friends. He's coming again. I believe. If someone asks you what you believe, will you be able to tell them what you believe? Do you know what you believe? And maybe you're listening to me today and you're not quite sure what you believe. You've never believed in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've never accepted Him as Lord of your life. You've never asked Him to come into your heart. You've never studied God's Word. Do you believe today that He is the Son of God? Do you believe today that He is the only way to salvation? Do you believe today He's coming again? You believe He can forgive you of your sin. If you believe those things and you've not yet accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, I invite you right now to ask Him to come into your heart and life. Ask Him to become your Lord and Savior. Ask Him to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And it's just as simple as saying, "Jesus, I believe. I accept you as my personal Savior. Come into my heart. Come into my life." Oh, there was a song we used to sing in children's church. "Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." Father, I ask right now, as the Holy Spirit deals with some that are listening to this broadcast today, Father, that you would speak to their hearts through the Holy Spirit. Father, they would yield their lives to Jesus Christ. As I mentioned previously, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Lord and Savior, after listening to the broadcast today, I have a little booklet I'd like to send you. It's called Help for the New Convert. I do have a limited number of these, and I don't believe it's in publication anymore. But I'd like for you to have it. You can find out how to contact us on our website. You can go through that and contact us, and it will ask you for the information that we need to be able to send this to you. And this will give you some help as you start your new life in Jesus Christ. Again, Father, I ask your blessing upon all those that listen today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to Messages on Demand. If you have been blessed by this message, please let us know. You may contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us. Again, that's pastor@tlhf.us. Or by clicking on the Contact Us button on the homepage of our website, www.tlhf.us. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production, a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship.